Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Tuesday, March the 10th, 2026. 15 and a half minutes past the hour, 11 days until spring, and boy, we are in the mood for that. Now, I want to remind everybody, we do have tickets to give away to the Kiwanis Pancake Breakfast. That's coming up on Saturday, the 67th annual tradition here in Marion. All you can eat pancakes out at Tri Rivers, and we'll be giving those away as the week goes along. Last night, we've been talking about City Council. We'll talk more about it after this interview. But former Marion City Treasurer Tom Panett, he preceded Tommy Reese in the job, was at City Council last night. He was there discussing some things going on in the 6th Ward in regard to a grant that had been applied for and possibly some new, I guess we call it infrastructure, paving, asphalt that may go into that area. That will be discussed and decided, I'm sure, as things go along. But Mr. Panett did talk about the city's finances a little bit, and he was very nice to speak with me last night. I don't think we've ever heard from Tom Panett in regard to the city's financial issues. So we have an 11-and-a-half-minute interview last night. Former Marion City Treasurer Tom Panett will give you an interesting take on what's going on in the city of Marion now, then, and why it all happened. Here we go.
Scott Spears, WGH Talk Radio, here with former Marion City Treasurer Tom Panett. Tom, it's good to see you. You brought an interesting spreadsheet to council tonight. Let people know in the listening audience what you had to say and what information you brought to council tonight.
I came to council for two reasons, basically. One was for the sidewalk issue in up by my house and our homes down through there. And the other issue, which was the biggest issue, but the other issue was that hoping the city council would get a better handle on their finances by showing what I did as city treasurer. And I gave them their 2021 report, which opened up their new year for 2022. And so I gave them the look at that spreadsheet, hoping they would see that. I think that they need to look at this on a once-a-month basis, just to make sure that they know where all the money is, where all the investments is. When I was there before, I checked with bank presidents. I made visits to the banks themselves. I got the best kind of rate I could get, and I did it by using the money in the city of Marion to the city banks. Most of our investment is done through city banks, city coffers here. And I had to go outside because I got a real good interest rate out of a bank out of Bucyrus, the SC Bank. And they gave me such a good interest rate on investment of about $500,000. And when they did that and gave me that good percentage, I had to take it. So I did leave some town with that money, figuratively speaking. Okay. I didn't leave town really, but yeah.
Well, what do you make of the city's financial problems? I mean, there was a lot tonight talked about getting rid of the out-of-city tax credit. There's talk of getting rid of curbside recycling. There's talk of raising sanitation sewer rates. There's talk of raising the bus fares. What do you believe happened to the city's finances?
I think it happened. It happened probably when we first got an inept auditor, and it was his actions and the things that he tried to do didn't gel with the city of Marion, and he was rather incompetent. And then I also come to figure that the individuals that were working with him were either afraid to say anything about his incompetency, or they didn't know any better either. You'll notice up there in that office, there has been a great turnover, not only in the auditor himself or herself now, but also in the clientele that's been up there, the employees. All right. And so when I was up there for the 6-8 years up there, the employee rotation was bad because it took a hard time. It takes a while to get used to what you're doing when you're sitting those desks and pushing those numbers. And so I found that the rotation of employees, in fact, one of them even went to the point, and God bless him, it wasn't his fault because he simply wasn't educated, but then cost the city thousands of dollars because the illegal use of a credit card when they said it was the mayor and it wasn't the mayor and that type of thing. So it's tough up there. It's a big job up there. You know, I think right now when I see it, it looks as though we got the right people in the right place. Okay. And people with experience. And that really looks good for our city right now. However, to get the finances back, I don't know if you can continue to get raises. You maybe have to go to the unions and talk to them about, hey, we need a cut. We don't want to cut your health insurance. You know, we want to keep you guys employed as many as we can. But we're up against it here. Maybe the fire department, the police department. And I don't mean to step on toes, but that's reality. And that's where the money is. If you think you're going to go to the taxpayers and you're going to get an increase in taxes, that ain't going to happen. Okay, especially with what's happening nationally now and the way this country's headed. And God only knows what's going to happen in the next 3 years.
Tom, this is an important point because you worked under the Schertzer administration. When people say it was the Schertzer administration where this problem occurred, that it was occurring long before the Collins administration, long before Robert Landon was the auditor, this problem existed before that, you say what?
I say that the state auditor comes in and does audits. When the state auditor passes our audits, then our audits are passed. Okay? So you researched back to when the state auditor first came in and got drift if something was going awry. It wasn't under Kelly Carr, okay? It was under Robert Landon, I think. Okay, so I think where it all started from there. And he said it's been a buildup. Well, if you go back to Robert Landon, how many years has that been? 10 years ago?
6 years ago now, I think.
6 years ago, and then we've had a deterioration in that department. Mm-hmm. And then can't get a hold of it. They can't correct it. So it's a slippery slope. Mm. It's simple as this. You're overspending what you're bringing in. Okay.
How would you say, Mayor?
I'm not saying cut the police department or cut the fire department. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah. How would you feel? How would you say Mayor Collins is doing as a city resident?
Bill's doing a great job. I like him. I've always liked him. And he's doing a good job. He's got the great personality. You know, he knows what he's talking about. And he controls his men well. I have nothing negative to say about him. He's doing a good job. You know, he's doing the best job that he can do with what he has. He has no obligation or no responsibility to me to what's happened in this office. You know, with the finances. You know, that's not under his watch. You know.
So again, just to be clear again, for somebody who was there and witnessed all this happening and saw what was going on with the city's finances, had a hand in it, where would you say this problem occurred that we reside in now?
It seemed to have occurred when individuals did not report the money to the state of Ohio like they were supposed to and keep up with those taxes, and then fell on the sword for not picking up that the taxes were going downhill and did nothing about it. Okay, it didn't help to make any correction. It also didn't help the city when individuals who were supposed to be educated on the use of the systems that we had in place at that time, and they failed to go get educated. In fact, even refused to go get educated. Okay. And so that's a shame because it's a free education. You know, you go down to Columbus, you go through the classes, it's free. And they even sometimes even give you a free lunch, okay? But nothing's a free lunch. But anyhow, that's where I saw things going awry.
Former Marion City Treasurer Tom Panett, final question. How do you think the city can turn this around? If you had to give them some advice, what would it be?
I would think I would go to the city employees and rather than cut the recycling out, which is looks like one of the options, and again, I don't know their true finances right now, but I would go to the police department, the fire department, and talk to these unions, and I would try and get a freeze on salaries. Get a freeze on pay for a while. Let's freeze this off. It's your city. You're the fireman. It's your city. You're the policeman. You want to work here. We want you here. You know, we have to have you here. Can you help us out? And Bill Collins has the personality that he could do that. He really could. And the chief of fire department?
Dean. Chief Dean.
Dean. Okay, Dean, sitting in there with a nice pretty white shirt on. Yeah. You know, these guys got personalities, or they wouldn't be where they are. You don't get up in this world with a crappy personality. You know, you move up, you move through people, you work with people, you enjoy each other's company, and you're all in the same boat, and that's what we are here. So I think if they went to basically a plea to have a freeze on their salaries, let's just see what it brings. Go to the auditor's office and find out what that's going to bring us if we get a salary freeze for 6 months or 8 months or a year. I don't know. But that's a tough negotiation. But I don't see us getting up out of here other than having some type of windfall like that.
Final question here. Tommy Reese followed you as treasurer. That seemed to be a tumultuous time between he and council at different points. We all witnessed that. What do you make of the job that Tommy Reese did?
I spent quite a bit of time with Tommy. I think I mentored him through 3 months of reconciling this things like this, this spreadsheet here, the money in, the money out, and all that we had, and the bills we had to pay. It just seemed like he was aloof as to the job responsibility. I don't think he was prepared for it. Not that he couldn't be prepared, but it just seemed to me that he didn't want to put in the effort. I mean, the first thing he asked for when he came to, one of the first things he asked the mayor for, he'd have his own car. Okay, city treasurer is a part-time job. $8,200 is what you make as a city treasurer. And he wants an automobile? I mean, that's sort of how bizarre, which tells me that he was sort of foggy on what the job was all about to begin with. Okay. He beat me by, I think it was 84 votes. It was a close race, but he beat me. And so come see, come saw. It is what it is.
Would you ever help to advise the city if somebody asked you to at this point?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, and I went to, and like I said, I mentored Tommy for 3 months. I did. He was in office, and for 3 months we balanced the books, this spreadsheet right here. This is my baby right here, the spreadsheet. And so we balanced the books, and I showed him how to do it. He just didn't seem to grasp it and didn't want to put the effort to do it. I'm sorry. Nice guy. Great guy.
You know, one question was brought to me when last year the Democratic Party had a chance to run somebody for treasurer, I believe it was. A lot of people said, did anybody approach Tom Pannett to see if he would be willing to come in and do it again? Would you have been willing to run for office again?
Yes, I would. I would run for office because I was fresh enough out of being out of office. And, you know, you get on the outside looking in, you get a little bit better picture of everything, too. And so, yeah, I would have run for office that point in time.
So why do you think nobody from the Democratic Party asked you to do that?
Well, I think the Democratic Party basically wasn't as strong as it should have been at that time. Good leadership, but just couldn't get things kicked in gear and get the Republican, the Democratic Party moving. Simply very similar to what's happened with the Trump administration and Trump moving in. And I think the Democrats just fell asleep at the switch here in Marion. And perhaps we just didn't get enough workers out on beating the bushes. And maybe even Marion is well known for yard signs. So maybe I didn't get enough yard signs out either.
Would you ever run for 6th Ward Council?
I thought about it, but I'd have to wait to see if the Democratic Party would ask me first.
There you go. Former Marion City Treasurer Tom Pannett.
All right, former Marion City Treasurer, Tom Pannett. I thought that was a fascinating interview. He gave his thoughts on where he thought things in the city went wrong. But you know, I know a lot of people at City Hall listen to this program. Tom Pannett was treasurer for quite a while. I think most people would say he was very successful in that position. And he has said, if you call him, he will help. He will advise. This is what I do not understand about Marion. And for people who say I don't lay it on the Democrats, well, it's coming here. Okay. Tom Pannett has said he would go down there and help. Okay. Tom Pannett clearly knows something about finances. Okay. Why would you not call him? If Mayor Collins is hearing that this morning, I hope Mayor Collins is on the phone with Tom Pannett today, asking him to come down there, take a look, discuss things, at least have the conversation about what's going on. Also, Tom Pannett said, now this, the Democratic Party, holy mackerel, and I hate to say this, this is the former treasurer of Marion, who had been treasurer for more than one term. He lost the last race to Tommy Rees by 84 votes. Last year, the Democrats did not even have to circulate a petition to have somebody run for treasurer against Vidya, the new treasurer who became auditor. They didn't even have to circulate a petition. All they had to do was give the Board of Elections a name, and it would have went on the ballot. They could not find anybody to do it. They could not find anybody who was willing to do it. Tom Pannett said if he would have been approached, he would have done it. That is a major, major loss in the Democratic Party. And the fact that they didn't approach Tom Pannett is shocking, because he said he would have done it. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, love your city. You know, you're talking about the Democratic Party. When I found out when Glenn Coble was running for mayor, the Democratic Party, he wasn't getting any help from the Democratic Party. And there are only two people, as far as I know, that were volunteered to help him. And that was Tom Pannett and myself. We had a little bit of a disagreement on how to run his campaign, and I kind of said, well, look, you know, do it your way. But the Democratic Party wasn't behind him at all, as far as we could tell.
Well, no, I don't think they were, but I can't speak on Glenn's behalf because I don't know what went on during that campaign, but he and Mayor Schertzer seemed to be at odds during that campaign, up until the point to where Mayor Schertzer did not endorse Glenn Coble in that race, and I think Glenn was not happy about that, and I think Glenn would admit that. And there seemed to be this back and forth of, I'm not going to ask him, and Schertzer was saying, well, he hasn't asked me, and there just seemed to be a lot of confusion.
Just a will of egos.
Well, yes, but with Tom Pannett, I don't understand. The Democrats last year, because of a loophole, because Tommy Rees was supposed to be the candidate for a second term, when he pulled out, the Republicans appointed Vidya to be the new candidate. Because they did that, the Democrats got a chance to put somebody up for that office. And all they had to do was submit a name. They didn't have to submit a petition. They didn't have to go door to door. Because of that loophole, all they had to do was put a name up there. The man who was the treasurer, the last man who had won treasurer as a Democrat in Marion, the man who was the treasurer before Tommy Rees, only lost by 84 votes, they didn't even ask him. And he said last night, had they asked me, yes, I would have done it. Now, if you can't find anybody, you're not even going to ask the last guy who had the position? I don't understand that.
That's Marion for you.
Well, I don't know if that's Marion. That's the Democratic Party.
Marion has a sad history of not utilizing its own resources. We have resources that are unbelievable. If people would utilize those resources for any issue,
but wouldn't that occur?
Could be resolved.
Wouldn't that occur to you? I mean, anybody in that Democratic Party. I was at the meeting where they were having this discussion, where they appointed Scott Kreider to fill the Dana Booker position on city council because she decided she could not continue on with that race. Tom Pannett wasn't even at that meeting. He wasn't even invited. He wasn't asked. I mean, I'm shocked by that. I assume Tom, as most I think people did, I mean, I'm not in the Democratic Party. It's not my job to ask Tom Pannett anything. But I just assumed that he was not interested. Maybe he was enjoying retirement. But no, he said they never asked. He would have done it.
Well, you can only play pickleball and golf so much. You need some other things to keep the brain firing, you know?
Well, and he also said, if you didn't hear the end of that interview, he's in the 6th Ward. He said he has not ruled out running for 6th Ward next time around. But he said again, nobody's approached him to do it. Now, the Democrats keep saying we can't find candidates. Well, who are you asking?
Are they actually searching? Are they actually doing a campaign to cultivate candidates? That's why I always maintain the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. They need to cultivate people, educate them so that they can say, we've trained them. They know how to hit the ground running once they attain office.
I don't know. I think it's interesting. And Tom Pannett also had some very nice things to say about Bill Collins there. So, you know, I mean, it's not like he's against the other side, and he gave his take on what happened with the... What, did you hear what he said about the finances? What do you think about his take on what happened with the finance? Somebody who was there at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts on it?
I don't know. I've got so much stuff. There's so much information here. I'm trying to process it all. I'm lost on that one.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see where
on that one. But Tom Pannett, if you decide to run for council, I will help with your campaign.
Well,
give me a call. You got my number.
We'll get bye. Yeah, bye. There you go. All right. Well, there you go. And again, I don't know what's going on. But regardless, Tom has said he would help if somebody gave him a call. Well, couldn't hurt at this point, I wouldn't think, if you were downtown, because all we're talking about is finances at this particular point. 740-383-9944. Okay, go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
I just wanted to offer an opinion.
Sure.
I think leadership today... they're afraid to ask for help. And I think a lot of that's because of the management style of Donald Trump. And, I mean, Donald Trump's management style is somewhat of a Wile E. Coyote super genius. And his cabinet, who used to be advisors, are now minions. And in the same vein, I think that has come down to city government. And I think, you know, we have leadership that is afraid to look weak in their own mind by asking for help. You know, we're expected, I think, in leadership to know it all, be it all, do it all. And that's not what it's about. It's about surrounding ourselves with advisors, people that are going to give us good advice, not just yes men and yes women, and people that are going to help us look at the different avenues of success or failure of any venture that you're looking at, you know?
Well, what do you make of Tom Pannett's thoughts on what happened with the financial situation in Marion? I mean, he's a guy who obviously had his eye on it.
I mean, I'm not against anybody or any... I mean, typically, like with Tommy Reese, you know, I don't know the man... seems like an awesome person if you're just talking to him and, you know, having a conversation. Don't know his education or background in finance, but I mean, I didn't understand the unwillingness to continue his training. I think at some point, I think it started off with that he felt that he was being blamed and that he wasn't trained sufficiently to begin with, so that was his defense. But at some point, you need to say, okay, you know, there's my defense, and let's move forward. And, I would have liked to have seen him, you know, take the training. I think that would have helped his situation. I've seen Mr. Pannett on my page, wondered who the heck he was. Now I know. It seems like... that, you know, he has a grasp of the situation. Again, it goes back to, you know, why didn't people take his offer, or why wouldn't they accept his offer of help? I think it goes back to what I said at the beginning. You know, the leadership feels weak if they reach out to anybody or if they can't handle the situation, you know. So I have great admiration for leadership that says, you know what, here's what I thought, here's what I think, here's what I did, here's what I'm going to do, here's the mistakes I made, here's where I need to adjust. I mean, you know, say you made mistakes. Say you made good decisions and bad decisions. You know, we all do.
Well, I'll tell you, I was just shocked because, you know, we all went through it last year when the Democrats threw that loophole in the treasurer's race, had a chance to just put anybody they wanted on the ballot, didn't have to circulate a petition, didn't have to go to door to door, didn't have to get any signatures, and not a person asked, and they couldn't find anybody to run for treasurer. They ended up not having any candidate. And come to find out, the last man who had won as a Democrat for treasurer 4 years earlier was never even asked to run for that position, and he said he would have done it.
Because he lost.
Well,
he
yeah,
lost,
but...
He lost once. He they're not going to go back to somebody that lost. I've had these conversations with the Democratic Party or people from the Democratic Party. I'm not against the Democratic Party or for. I don't think they have a presence in Marion anymore, and I think it's a stretch to ask for anybody to run for office as a Democrat in Marion when the Democratic Party doesn't even have a clubhouse in Marion.
Well, what
does that say to the people of Marion? It doesn't say that we're here to stay. It's like, well, we're going to see if we can get somebody in, then we'll come and have a presence there.
Yeah, but what I'm confused about is at that same meeting, they had to replace Dana Booker, her candidacy on the city council at large position, and they picked Scott Kreider, and he had lost before. I'd rather have somebody who lost than no candidate at all.
No, I hear you. I agree. I'm big on, I mean, as I tried to advise Robert Landon when I was a part of their little group for a very short period, is, you know what, admit your mistakes. Tell people, say, hey, you know, I mean, in all honesty, any leadership, any leader that runs for a job that has no education requirements, that's a stupid leadership move. I mean, come on. You know, so, as I said, Robert Landon needed to step up and say, I made a mistake. I got talked into by my party. I ran. I fucked up. I made mistakes. And if I'd ever run again, if I were Robert Landon, I would say, here's what I learned from my mistakes. Here's what I can bring. Because the education from mistakes is very, very valuable.
Well, you know what? It's very interesting because when Robert was on last year, 2 hours live here, I thought he admitted a lot of things that he wished he had done differently. And I mean, it's live. It's unedited. Anybody can go listen to that interview. You can hear exactly what he said. He said he would have done many things differently in that interview. I don't know what happened to him after that interview. I don't. Got me, but the interview is taped there, and people can go back and listen to it. He admits where he thought he did things wrong, and I believe he said in that interview that if he would have went back and done it all over, he would not have done it the same way. He would not have run for that position again of auditor.
Sure.
So,
and I respect that, and as I said, I was invited to come to that group. Never hurt. I mean, I made some comments on some posts on the page. Jason Foreman, you know, got with me, invited me to come into the group, wanted me to do some things and report or whatever for them. And, I mean, I was just offering a perspective. They knew, anybody that doesn't know how I lean hasn't been to my page. My page is the same thing for 20 years. So, you know, I stand on what I stand on. And the fact that they invited me in there and then, as I was saying to Landon, I wasn't for or against him. I'd never known the man before, never had any issue with him before. I have opinions. just like I have opinions on Josh Daniels and his tenure. I have opinions on any politician. That's all it is an opinion. But he got all butt hurt and got offended, and then he wanted to take it down a vein, and he wants to take it down that disrespect avenue, as we get with some people in their mental midget comments.
Well, it's
I mean, and I get on digressing here a little bit, but, you know, I get it. You know, Robert did come on, but then he then goes back to his little show and kind of backtracks on things. So,
well, like I said at the time, it's unfortunate that it happened that way, because when he was in here, I mean, we sat here for 2 hours. We talked during the break. I found him perfectly fine. We had a good conversation. And, you know, I have nothing to say negative about him, but I don't know what happened after that interview. Something different.
And it was a good interview. I listened to it, and I thought he did well, and I think I told him I thought he did well. Pretty sure I did. But, again, people, I mean, one of the conversations we had is that, you know, in our little private group, is that I was critiquing his interview or critiquing his comments, and everybody got, well, you're being critical. It's a critique, people.
That's right. You got to be able to, if you're going to take the praise, you got to take the critiques.
Exactly.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Have a great day.
All right. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Yeah, you know, you get a lot of praise, but you get the critiques too. That's okay. I think is when it becomes mean or just nasty is that's where it gets a little rough. Or misleading, which I said earlier when it comes to social media. In any event, the phone lines are open, and I thought Mr. Panett there gave a very interesting take on what was going on in the city, the Democratic Party, and how we got to where we have gotten today. Again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944 if anybody has anything they'd like to say. Oh, okay. 14 minutes, 13 minutes, something like that left in the program today. Yesterday, we did the story here. We had the discussion about the substitute teacher. Well, hold on. Let's take the call, then we'll come back to this, because we want to make sure everybody has the time to speak. Go ahead, caller.
I have a page on Facebook, and I haven't been able to get back on in over a year. They keep giving me this screen thing. It looks like you were misusing this feature by going too fast. You've been temporarily blocked from using it. I've tried for over a year to get back onto Facebook, because the page is, how do we make Marion, Ohio better?
Hmm.
And you can post whatever you want. Use whatever kind of language you need. But if you don't come up with a solution, your posting will be taken down. I would encourage people to maybe even start a new one, since I can't get in to administer that page. But we need feedback like that. How do we make Marion, Ohio better?
All right. Thank you. Okay, and again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So, now, again, phone lines are open if you want to talk about anything we've talked about today about at 12 minutes here. Here's what I want to say about the story yesterday. We did the story about the substitute teacher at River Valley who, I think what we know, kissed a student and was implicated in more. And, hold on, let's take the phone call, then we'll come back to this. Boy, that delay will get you every time. Go ahead, caller.
I want to hear about Stuyvesant, so go ahead and talk.
Okay, so here's the thing. The story was the story. So
I sent you the email.
Right. Okay, here's what I want to say, because the discussion...
All official documents, though, right?
All official documents, yes, from River Valley. Okay, here's what I wanted to say about that story, because the discussion yesterday, because there was something bugging me about that story, as we had the discussion yesterday, in regard to, should this be reported, shouldn't this be reported, will it be reported, was there any bias involved on the prosecutor's behalf, did it ever get to the prosecutor, a lot of questions yesterday, and something about that story, and for those who didn't listen, by the way, essentially the story was Ken Stuyvesant's niece was a substitute at River Valley. Now, not one of her students, but a student there. We know she admitted
a high school student, a junior.
Right. They kissed.
And now that we went back and looked at the documents, she admitted to receiving pictures of his genitals and kissing him. And okay. He admitted and said that they had sex in Dunham's parking lot.
Right.
But I think she denied that. She denied the sex.
Yes.
But she said she received pictures of an underage boy's genitals.
Okay. So,
I think that's called kiddie porn where I'm from, but I digress.
Well, but if somebody sends it, I don't know what the rules are on this. I've never had anything sent like that to me. But if somebody sends it to you, I mean, I don't know what, do you report them? I don't know what you do. I guess.
I don't know. I think if I thought that a minor was sending me pictures of their genitals, I would call the police.
Okay, so
it would probably get twisted. I would call an attorney first, and then I would call the police.
Okay,
but I would want an attorney there with me.
Well, this story was put in the context of what happened to Ayers Ratliff and what happened to the police officer here in town, Damron. And that's what the comparison was. Why was this not done here? Why was it done here? And so on and so forth. Now,
I don't expect her to be perp-walked. I mean, but, you know, it sure was hush-hush.
Well, here's the thing. And this is, I guess, why this story was a little uneasy to me, just from the news perspective. Because, obviously, she was investigated, and she did get in trouble. Or she resigned. She's certainly not substituting anywhere. So,
well, we don't know about anywhere, because do we know, has her substitution, her license to substitute? Because you get licensed, I mean, you know, you get licensed basically throughout the region. And you can go substitute at any of those schools.
Well, right, but see, that becomes, and I think this is what was bothersome to me, along with something else that I'll get to here in a second. But, okay, River Valley investigated it. River Valley, as a school, if something was done that would result in her teaching license being pulled, would have to report that. Even if they didn't discipline her, they would have to report that. To the Board of Education.
To the governing board. It's like Central Ohio Education something like that, isn't it?
Right. So the fact that if she did not lose her license, which it doesn't sound like she did, obviously they did not feel that it met the standard of losing the license. Also, the other thing is that...
Did they stop it, though, before it got to that point? They were getting ready to have the disciplinary hearing, so if you dip out before that, does it not go on your record?
Well, I think their investigation would go on your record. So either it must not have been believed, or there was no evidence that there was a sexual encounter.
If she admitted that she kissed him, that's inappropriate.
It is inappropriate, but I don't know if it's call for dismissal. I don't know those rules. I don't know if it's just disciplinary or dismissal. But here's the thing. The thing to me, I am not sure about this person's age. And I
was
have
16. I know that. I was told who it is.
His age, or her age. Because I don't
graduated
think
graduated in 22, so I think it would have made her like 21.
Right, but
22.
I don't think she graduated college. I think she was working.
No.
I think she had graduated high school, and she was...
She graduated high school in 2022.
Or 2023, something like that. Right?
I don't care.
No, but I'm saying, so that would make her 18 in 23. So this event allegedly happened in
25.
So she's 20. Not even graduated college yet.
I think she was 21, but it doesn't... I don't care. It doesn't matter. And, you know, I actually had this conversation, too. I struggled with it a little bit because she's a young woman, and it's like, do you want to ruin her life? And then I asked the person, too. I said, if this were a guy that were making out with a 16-year-old girl, would I be feeling the same way, or would I want him on, you know, like, drugged down the middle of Center Street? So are we giving her a bias because she's a young woman? Is that what it is?
Oh, means? No, the judgment's horrible. The judgment is horrible. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying we have to ask two questions here, and the other one's the more important point that doesn't have to do with the age, but I think I don't think it was clarified yesterday. I think people thought that she had graduated college and she was out in her life.
She was very close to graduating from college if she had not graduated. I mean, if she wasn't 21, I believe she was 21.
Well, maybe she had just graduated.
I know for certain he was 16 because my friend's daughter used to date him.
Right, but I guess what I'm saying is I don't know how you go through 4 years of college that you would have to go through to become a teacher if you graduated.
God, you can graduate with an associate's degree as far as that goes.
Well, right, but that's not, most people associate, to get your licensure, you would have to go through 4 years at least. And clearly that didn't happen. So I don't know if she was, you know, they'll let anybody sub now because Ohio always have a lack of subs.
I think all you need is a high school diploma to sub.
Exactly.
Now, isn't it?
Exactly.
So, which then that raises an issue. Should we have 19-year-olds in there instructing 18-year-olds?
Right. So that's part of the problem that I was having with it. Because if a 21-year-old girl, okay, had whatever, kissed a 17-year-old, 16, whatever he was at the time, boy from another school, is that an issue?
Yes.
Okay. But would it be made
unlawful sexual conduct with a minor? I know someone that's sitting in prison for having quote-unquote relations with a 16-year-old girl when he was 21.
Well, but if there weren't sexual relations, if there were a kiss.
I don't know. I feel like if you're sending somebody a picture of your stuff, you'd probably made it past kissing. But then again, I'm old school.
But
so.
She didn't do that, right?
We don't know. Was there an investigation?
We don't know. But
she certainly didn't admit to anything.
But here's the other part that I think is very important. It's not so much the age.
Sitting there with his dad and says that he had sex with her in Dunham's parking lot. He did, and he was like, but it's no big deal. And then, okay, this is just rumor. Things got weird after the fair. Yeah, because they were found in the cattle barn having naked time. So that's rumor, but like I said, I know exactly who it is now.
Right, and right, but let me get...
telling that. I don't mean it that way,
right,
it came from a very reliable source that you read the part where the kids were out in the hallway pointing at her picture talking about her.
Right. And
because all the 4-H kids had heard this story. All the 4-H kids knew because some of the 4-H kids were the ones that walked in and saw it.
Right, and again, Not good judgment, not good behavior, not saying it is.
Substitute banging the kids at the state or at the county fair, no, it's not good.
No, but again, I don't know if that factually happened. But again,
it was told to me by who it was told to me, I believe it.
Okay.
It's someone that's involved in 4-H, and apparently this has been widely known amongst the fair community.
Right, but the bigger point here is not so much this, because clearly she exercised bad judgment. You should not do this, regardless, even the kiss, which I guess is what we know for sure. You should not do that with another student.
And kitty porn.
Okay.
On her phone.
Don't do that. Okay, but here's the other point. This is what the problem was with me.
If this was a man, and he had a 21-year-old man, and he had a 16-year-old girl's badge on his phone, would we all be like, oh, don't do that?
No. The other point is the point that I have the problem with. And this is what the problem I was getting to yesterday was. And maybe we'll talk more about this tomorrow because we've only got 3 minutes. But the other part is the bigger one. Bad judgment, shouldn't have done it. Should River Valley have removed her? Yes, and so on and so forth. But here's the problem. Every place I saw this story reported, it was Ken Stiverson's niece. And that's a problem. Because Ken Stiverson's niece is not what this story is supposed to be about. This story
turns into Ken Stiverson's niece, and Ken Stiverson's wife works for Children's Services, and Ken Stiverson is friends with Ray Grogan, and Ray Grogan's wife works for Children's Services. And you've got teachers from River Valley who lost their license for having sex with someone who'd already graduated. But you've got a Stiverson having sex in the cattle barn over on the county fair, and it doesn't even make the news.
Well, but the point is that we don't...
The point is her last name got her out of trouble. That's what the story turned into.
But do we know that?
If her last name was Craig, she would be on the front page of the newspaper.
See, that's what I don't... I can guarantee
if
you this.
If his last name was Ratliff and it was a girl, he would be on the front page of a newspaper.
Well, again, if you're accused of rape, yes. But I don't know that she ever was.
If Ayers Ratliff was somebody walked in and he was having sex with somebody in a cattle barn, that would be rape.
Yes, absolutely.
If you were having sex with someone who was underage and you are in a position of authority,
absolutely.
That's rape. It doesn't matter if they consent or not.
But
so yes.
But for some reason, River Valley could not substantiate that.
She quit before. They turned it over to the police. River Valley did what they were supposed to do.
Right, but then the police just didn't investigate
it? There are people all over the internet saying, stop talking about this. It was handled by the family. So clearly, they aren't even denying that it happened.
Well, I...
Just let the family handle it. This is the family's business.
I guess what I'm saying is, she will have to deal with what she's going to have to deal with, and you can't...
But will she have to deal with what everybody else would have to deal with if their last name wasn't Stiverson? That's another part of...
Well, here's my question, though. If the person's name was Jones, would their uncle be put in the story? No, they wouldn't.
Would be on the front page. The reason he's in the story is because the last name is what carries the weight.
Well, I will tell you this. I will bet you dollars to donuts that Abby...
I don't like donuts.
Well, okay. But I will bet you that Abby had no idea prior to this who Ken Stiverson was. And I will bet you that she certainly knew that this had happened. So she certainly did not run...
I don't think she knew that the termination or the resignation happened.
Well, if Kathy, what's her name, Laird, put it out there, I don't know how she could have missed
it. Kathy Laird didn't know about the resignation.
Well, I guess even the letter. Well, if I knew about the letter and Kathy knew about the letter, I'm going to assume Abby knew about the letter. So
she was waiting for the investigation, though. Abby's like the good fool.
Okay, but I guess my point is, I don't think it comes to frame of reference again. I don't think Abby would have any idea who Ken Stiverson was because he was already out of office when she was in, and the story did not run. And she certainly would have access to the investigation now.
Well, you know what? All I know is the way you people are dismissing this. My son is no longer allowed to leave the house because all I know
no.
is there's names.
No, wait, no,
I'm not allowed to go to Dunham.
I just want to say that I want to say this before
if
we wrap up the show.
If he wants a Whopper, I am going with him because he is going to be teachers that just want to get in his truck and do things with him, and we're all going to say it's okay.
Especially
if they're somehow connected to the Marion Mafia.
No, let me say this before I wrap up today. I'm not saying what she did was okay. As a matter of fact, no, you should not kiss a student. As a matter of fact...
No, you shouldn't have pictures of their junk on your phone.
No, you should not. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But my point is that I think... If anybody even on social media had just run her name and not put Ken Stiverson in the story and made it more about the political...
As soon as you put her name on there, it would have been, that's his niece. Everybody in the county is going to associate... The guy was the commissioner for three, but I know it's time to go, but the name is... The problem.
I think it's worth more talking about tomorrow because I think that's a big part of this, and I think if people draw that conclusion on their own, that's okay. But is this a story right now about misconduct of a teacher, or is it a story? Well, that is an issue then because we have to have.
I don't think so. It is an issue if there's a cover up because you're politically connected. You're right.
If there is a cover up. But I think we need to know a little more before we can make that assertion.
Well, that's why I'm going to, like I said, risk my own life and go to the sheriff's department. I'm going to leave my son in the car running so he knows where I went missing and see if I can get my fingers on the police report.
Well, thanks for calling. And we'll continue tomorrow. Thank you, Scott Spears, for this day, heading for the dugout. 8-3.
Adam the Computer Guy, providing on-site and remote-based technical support, computer troubleshooting, and